Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Help I Sexed My Boss, the podcast where we help you navigate the challenges of modern life, aiming to answer your 21st century questions and find solutions to everyday dilemmas, like what do you do if you accidentally say doggers on the BBC News channel?
That's a little bit outdated.
Two things, Ben, that was so last week. And second thing, it wasn't the BBC News channel, it was BBC Breakfast. So
yes, but in Ben's defence, it does actually get broadcast on the BBC News channel.
Mm.
It's what's called simulcast in the industry. When your show is really big and popular, Jordan, well, if your show ever gets really big and popular, you might get broadcast across two networks at the same time, and that's what's called a simulcast. I think you were probably ill that day at Media Studies University degree.
And should you tell your colleagues if you're hungover at work? Oh, I'm worse for that. I tell everyone. There's no discretion with me. I'm like, I'm rough. I'm hanging out. And of course, what should you do if you've accidentally sexted your boss? But we're not your usual agony aunts, are we, William Hanson, UK's leading etiquette expert?
No, we are not, Jordan North, radio presenter. I'm more Lamborghini, you're more Lambrini.
Oh, brilliant. How have we never done that before?
Thank you to Natalie Curry for sending that one in.
How have we never done that one before?
In fact, that was so good. Should we toast Natalie? Because that was excellent.
That was our best grade. One. Yeah.
Natalie,
to Natalie,
we raise our D to you.
Mm.
Mm. Lovely. We are still having our gin and Tobonnet. One part gin, two parts Tobonnet. Although, actually, in the Savoy cocktail book, my friend Tom pointed this out to me, which is sort of in mixology is sort of the Bible written in the 30s. They actually give the recipe for a gin and Tobonnet as one part gin, one part Tobonnet. So it's half and half. Now, when I saw Tom a few weeks ago, we actually tried the Savoy measure of gin and Tobonnet. My God. I mean, normal gin and Tobonnet, pretty lethal. The Savoy measurements of gin and Tobonnet, whoa.
So what, it was a double shot of each?
Well, it's equal parts gin and Tobonnet. So there's more gin, and it's the gin strength. And actually, my friend Jonathan made the very valid point that if you are using a navel strength gin, which is often 50/60% alcohol, and you are also then adding Tobonnet, which is about 15% alcohol, you're over the 60% limit, which kills Corona. So actually, a gin and Tobonnet, you drink that, you're Corona-free. Anyway, this is the podcast where you send in your dilemmas and Jordan and I offer our sometimes contrasting advice.
Yeah, so if you want to help with something, then you can tweet us at SexedMyBoss. You can send your tales of trepidation to help at SexedMyBoss.com. Or you can write to William, who now promises to write a handwritten, sanitised reply on his own letterhead of paper. The address is on the website, SexedMyBoss.com. Also, if you're enjoying what we're doing in lockdown, we would love for you to leave us just a little review on iTunes or wherever you can leave them, just a nice little review. You can give us a shit one as well if you want. I've had another week of ordering random shite online drunk again.
Oh, what have we particularly ordered?
I got in from work yesterday and I've ordered 6 brandy glasses and 20 plug-in air fresheners.
Why do you need 6 brandy glasses?
Well, I don't even have any brandy. I don't particularly like brandy, you know.
It's quite nice if you've had a heavy meal.
Yeah, you said that. I tried it when I was in Spain with my dad. I love my whiskey. But yeah, I ordered brandy glasses. And the plug-in air fresheners I've got, every time you walk it past them when they're plugged in, I'm like, I can't breathe. Oh, I'm going to have an asthma attack. It's too strong. And it's fresh cotton, well, so it smells like I've got laundry out all the time. 20.
How many did you order? Well, if you've plugged all 20 in, no wonder it smells so awful.
No, I didn't plug 20 in. I plugged two in, one in hallway and one in my room. But yeah. Do you ever do that?
I mean, I would... What, order random things?
Online when you're drunk?
No. It's okay. not my speciality. But I wouldn't ever order, even if I was drunk, a plug-in air freshener.
A plug-in air freshener's common? Here we go.
Yes.
Are they... The worst is the ones that you get in public toilets or just people have them. The ones that just every now and then squirt out air freshener and it squirts it right in your face. You're like...
The people you used to live with used to have one of those positioned directly in front of the loo. So when you were standing there, you know, freshening up mid-dinner, this thing would go...
Yeah.
And spritz you. And it was... it's not pleasant. It's like you're being shot.
You get it in your mouth and all sorts.
Always have it pointing away from people. A reed diffuser is a lot smarter. Or a bowl of potpourri. I mean, a bit retro.
Potpourri! I used to eat that when I was younger, and I've turned out perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I did. My Auntie Linda came in one day, and I had it on my lap like a bowl of popcorn. I was just eating it, watching telly. She tells a story a lot better than me.
Something that came to my attention the other day was that there's been some new research out about sexy accents.
Oh, yeah.
And they have this company have done research to see which are the top 20 accents in order of attractiveness.
Okay, can I guess which is at the top?
Yes, and this is not just the UK, this is global.
Well, my top three are Northern Ireland, Belfast.
Not on the list.
Oh, God. North
East.
Oh,
well, Irish is, but not Northern Ireland.
Geordie, North East accent.
Geordie is on the list.
Yep, Geordie's fit. And I am quite partial to the Scouse accent. Liverpudlian.
That is on the list.
Is it?
Relatively low down, but it is on the list.
Yeah, I'll stick with that as my top three. Then I'd go for Wales, and then...
Welsh is on the list, yes, quite low down, but it's on the list.
Yeah, and then I'd say Essex.
Gosh, bizarrely, that is on the list.
See, I know, my top five fittest accents.
They're your top five.
Okay.
But they're not the world's. Do you know what the first most attractive accent is?
Oh, is it Burnley?
No, Burnley's not on the list.
Oh, that does not surprise me.
No, Lancashire is not on the list.
Okay.
Hello.
Bristol.
No. How dare you? RP, received pronunciation.
Is that number one?
That is number one. Number two was New Zealand. Number three was Edinburgh.
I'm not going to lie to you. RP is, like, not yours, but when someone speaks proper...
Hello, Jordan. How are you today?
Are we doing ASMR right now?
Once the recording's over.
What are you going to do to me?
I'm going to get that dressing gown. No.
It's getting weird now. No, I'd agree with that. I'd say RP's... I'd actually agree with that.
I mean, it's nice to... I mean, look, obviously, Mikey and I are very happy in our relationship, but should anything ever go, you know... I'm a realist. Should anything ever not work out, then it's nice to know that with my accent, all I need to do is... go and stand on a street corner in London, open my mouth, and they'll come running.
That actually reminds me of you talking about Mikey. Last week, someone Googled William Hanson's husband.
Oh, yes.
And I came up. It's like the first thing, if you Google William Hanson's husband, is pictures of me and William Hanson together. We're not married. Someone actually tweeted...
I mean, I don't have a husband, regardless of who it is.
Someone actually tweeted... A Gene Diva tweeted, have I missed the wedding episode?
Although, Jordan, actually, it suddenly came back to me. During our last live tour at the start of this year, we did get married on stage. Do you think something in that was legally binding?
If it was in a legal building and there was... No, you got
one of our venues could have been legal.
Yeah, it was one of the skits we did. last year. I had to. We said before the tour last year, we will have an audience vote before the interval who has to wear the dress.
And Jordan was convinced. You spent weeks going, no city will vote for me. It'll always be you in the dress.
And listen, every single night on tour, the audience cheered for me to wear the dress. So I had to come out in a dress.
Because you failed to realise a camp man in a dress is fairly standard. Okay, that's nothing. Okay, we've got RuPaul's Drag Race. That's been and done. You, a big hairy man in a dress, that's funny.
Big. I was under 12 stone during that tour, actually, and I've not got back to that.
Well, you've got lots of hair, is what I meant.
Okay, thank you.
Anyway, my accent is sexy. Lancashire not even on the list, so sorry.
Is Mikey's hometown of Wakefield on the list? I know that does it for you.
They haven't been that specific, but Yorkshire is number 6.
Ooh, William.
Manchester, which I suppose is the closest to your accent, is number 14.
I've got a right sexy accent, so I have. Get up them dancers and get on that bed, you little minx, you.
I think there's quite a gap between some of these accents. I mean, they've put the fifth sexiest accent is German.
Yeah.
We will have a good time.
You want a sexy time with me? No, I've ruined it.
Do I mean, Germans again. Are terrible at small talk. Presumably they're really bad at foreplay.
Mm. Doing the German accent again, that's class.
You will have a good time. I have allotted 7.5 minutes for this.
Did I tell you about that German fella who broke down?
No.
Me and my dad tried to help him fix his car. His tyre had gone. My dad and I. His tyre had gone. He was a German. And we opened the boot to get his spare tyre. There was a big slab of meat in the back. I said, what's that? He said, it's my spare veal.
I think that was one of your jokes of the week.
How weird. I've got so many jokes since we scrapped Jordan's joke of the week.
We will bring it back.
Okay. Yeah, loads of people have actually been asking for us to bring Jordan's joke of the week back. But
look, I'm just raising the level of this podcast from a literary point of view, so we stand a better chance of winning next year if we are nominated again for British Podcast Award, because clearly that's what the judges go for.
Did you hear about that cat that tested positive for corona?
No.
Don't ask me how.
Okay, this is why we rested Jordan's joke of the week. Look, you've had your brother staying over, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Oh my God, nightmare. Right, so the first night he gets here, again, he stayed just before Preston went into lockdown. I've been so lucky.
Mm.
I know, so the first night he got here, he parked in someone's car park and they kicked off. I don't know if we can say this, but the person whose space he parked in is like the person in our neighbourhood that we're all a bit scared of. So that was a nightmare. And then, don't ask me how this happened. He met me after work and we booked a pub. We track and traced, we washed our hands and everything before we entered the pub, we socially distanced, and I think it was all a bit too much for him. And he said, I'm just going to nip to the loo. And I said, when you're on the way to the toilet, ask the lady if they're doing eat out to help out, because there's no point in paying full price for food, is there? So his girlfriend was speaking to him at the same time, and this is where I think his wires got crossed. And I don't know what she was saying to him, and she was like, no, you can't, not here. And I went, just go up to the bar and ask. He went, what? I went, just go up to the bar and ask the lady. She won't bite. He went, what are you on about? I went, just ask the lady on the way to the toilet. And he's still speaking to his girlfriend, so he's got like two people in his ear. This is where I think the confusion's setting. So as he walks to the bar, he looks at me and I'm like, what is up with him? So he goes to the bar and he went, excuse me, are we allowed to have a poo in your toilet? She went, sorry. And he was about to ask her then. He went, are we all... I went, no, I said, ask her if they're doing the eat out to help out. So I think that sums up. He come back after what seemed like an eternity. I was like, what did you ask that for? He went, well, I don't know, with corona and everything, are you allowed to do it in public? I was like, we're going. So yeah, he stayed over, but it was nice to see
him. I had to ask that in a coffee shop the other day, and I think the nice way to say is, are your lavatories open? Probably. Are we able to use your lavatories? You don't need to go into any more specifics than that. Well, it's in the news in the UK at the moment. It's the big discussion is whether pantomimes will be allowed to return at the end of the year. Because obviously that's a big tradition. It's a tradition that we have in Britain and not many other countries have.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is. Do you like pantomime? Are you a panto person?
Yeah, I used to love the pantomime. Actually, when I was...
Obviously, you were in a pantomime at school. We talked about it in the bonus episode.
I was actually... When I was at Rock FM, we tried to get me into the local pantomime at Preston.
What were they doing?
I think I was going to be Buttons. I can't remember it.
Right.
But it was very local radio. I actually was really up for it, but we couldn't make it work. My schedule, it meant... Like, because you do two shows a day, don't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Certain day, yeah.
Yeah, and I would have finished it. Yeah, we just couldn't make it work. But yeah, I do like the pantomime. A lot of people turn their nose up at pantomime. A lot of thespians, but they keep, from what I'm told, they keep theatres open.
Yes, that, and of course that's the big drama because, you know, will theatres be able to sort of function next year without a pantomime? But I think there probably is a way to do a corona-friendly pantomime.
Mm.
You could do Peter Pandemic.
Mm,
could be quite good. Self-isolating beauty.
Hang on a minute here, Gene Devers. William's done a bit of prep and obviously written these down before the podcast episode, so crack on.
Listen, don't throw my prep and your lack of prep in my face.
Go on, what else have we got?
Aladdin Doors.
Okay.
Ben says that sounds like my type of movie, cheeky bitch. Snow White and the Seven Socially Distanced Dwarfs.
Good, very good.
And when they shout, "He's behind you," it will obviously be at a safe 2 metre distance.
Do you know as well with pantomime, there'll be so many little corona innuendos and jokes, won't there?
Well, if they allow it, yes.
Mm.
Yeah. I think it's the way forward. I think there's a way to do it.
Do you know what? If there is one on over Christmas, we should go and see one, because it'll help the theatre, and B, I've not been to a pantomime for years.
If you were going to be in any pantomime, which is your favourite pantomime, which one would you rather be in?
I think Cinderella. I remember Jack and the Beanstalk.
Jack and the Beanstalk, that's such a forgotten pantomime. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. I pretty much am Jack. I would be sent out with a cow and come back with magic beans. No, I'd come back with a tin of beans.
True.
Well, all right, are we ready for William's wacky word of the week?
We are.
Okay, do it. Do it proper.
William's wacky word of the week.
Bring back Jordan's joke of the week, that's what I say.
And the word is funambulism. Funambulism. And I'll tell you the definition after the break.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's William's wacky, wacky word of the week. Funambulism.
Funambulism.
And how would you spell that, please?
F-U-N-A-M-B-U-L-I-S-M.
A funambulism is...
You are Googling, aren't you?
No, I'm I don't know. Go on.
It's a demonstration of cleverness.
We'd just say he's a smart ass.
Well, we would say he's...
Or she. She's a smart
ass. Funambulic, maybe? Funambulic?
Funambulism. So is it somebody that rubs it in your face that they're intelligent, or...
No, it's just, you know, he's demonstrated his cleverness by using a word like funambulism.
Yeah. Ben's just said in my ear, I've got some controversy about William's wacky word of the week. Go for it.
No, I did. I said thank you to Connor. I definitely said thank you to Connor, unless you cut it.
All right, let me clear. So this is what I've got to put with. Ben's just said that somebody sent in last week's wacky word of the week and William didn't credit them. Plagiarism.
I did. I did, because you went, are you ever going to come up with your own content, William? So we did definitely keep that in.
Oh, okay. All right. Bloody hell. He just took the jam out your donut.
Oh, that's a nice saying.
Oh, actually, I know for a fact you haven't got donuts in your house, because Mikey's worried about you getting the old diabetes.
So William's
not allowed any nice snacks in his house at the moment.
And that's why I'm looking forward to eating out with you.
I know, he's just going to scoff a big cake, aren't you? Oh, in fact, no, you won't. It's me. I'm paying.
Well, I'll just order the pudding then.
Okay.
Now, we often use ideas from our episodes for our live show, so maybe we could do a mini pantomime.
In the live show?
Yes.
Oh, that's a great shout.
Because
yeah.
Pantomime doesn't just have to be at Christmas. You can get summertime pantomimes.
We could do a panto and bring back the characters of Wilfred and Justin.
Well, you say that. Ben, next week, set your diaries, is off on holiday. And apparently he's going to use his holiday as a writing retreat. Because he is so keen for one of our future bonus episodes to write the next instalment of Wilfred and Justin, as told by Ben.
That's great, yes. Oh, that's a great idea. Ben's going to write the next chapter of Wilfred and Justin. If you're thinking what you're going on about earlier on in this series,
It was a particular low.
I was in lockdown and going through a creative spell and decided to write a script about Wilfred and Justin, two friends.
Well, this is off the back of your amazing seminal piece of comedy about a picky tea.
One was a posh boy and one was a really common northerner. I don't know where the idea come from, I really don't. And the characters were Wilfred and Justin. Didn't they have a friend called Producer Bob?
Yes.
Yes, and wasn't Wilfred's boyfriend called Mickey?
I believe so.
How do I think it up? Genius. Genius. Honestly.
So Ben is very keen to write his interpretation because I think his part wasn't big enough in either of my...
Yes, what? that's mainly it.
Well, Ben thinks he could write a better one than either I did when I did my version or when Jordan did his version. So we shall see, Gene Devers. So once Ben comes back from his writing retreat...
You just know he's going to be there with his floppy hair. He's wearing a beret with circular glasses, smoking a cigarette, even though he doesn't smoke, on a typewriter, being all arty and writing it out. Catherine, I've told you, I'm writing. Get away. That's Ben's writing voice. Very similar to William's father's voice.
Because you can only do three voices. Right. Anyway, well, any other ideas for the live tour, please let us know. Or indeed, just go and buy your tickets. That would be nice. There aren't many left for certain dates, so don't hold back. We're going to bring something back now that we haven't done for a while. We're going to bring back our Give Me the D competition.
Oh, yeah, we've not done this for donkeys.
This is your chance, Gene Devers, to win a bottle of De Bonnet. All you have to do is go to our social media, look at the rules under a specific post that'll say Give Me the D competition, do what it tells you, and a week later we will at random pick a winner and a bottle of De Bonnet will be coming your way. Now, we do have a nice theme song that goes with this.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, can you remember the words?
I can remember it. Are you ready?
Yep.
A one, two, three. I want the D.
The D.
Stop it. You're doing this now to piss me off. Don't. Just do it proper.
Okay.
Sorry, that was a bit...
You can count in then.
A one, a two, a one, two, three. I want the D.
I want the D.
I need it now. Please tell me when. I'm thirsty and willing.
You slow down in the bits that we don't slow down in, and you speed up in the bits.
You're being a knobhead now. You're doing it on purpose. Come on, one more time.
Right.
A one, a two, a one, two, three. I want the D.
I want the D. I need it now. Well, tell you what, conduct, Jordan. Use those two things at the end of your shoulders and conduct me.
If I could reach through my screen now, I'd grab your throat. Right. A one, a two. A one, two, three.
I want the D.
I need it now.
Please tell me when.
Please tell me how. I'm thirsty and willing and eager.
Your conducting is terrible.
So come on. So come on, boys. Give me the D.
People asked for that to come back. They're probably regretting us.
That was a disaster. First question, please, William Hanson.
Our first question is from Kaylee. Hello, William, Jordan, and sexy Ben. I don't actually know what Ben looks like, however, but I have created an image and I'm sticking with it.
Think of a hipster that's giddy on coffee and has been kicked through a charity shop backwards. That's what he looks like.
And in the right light, looks a little bit like Anne Widdecombe. With lockdown easing slowly and my usage of Bumble, the dating app, becoming more prolific, I wonder how soon is too soon to get flirty during a socially distanced period. I was speaking to a nice guy, or so I thought, for 5 weeks. We had good conversation, shared interests, sent a few selfies, voice notes and calls. One night last Friday, after a few drinks, we were texting and it soon became a game of erotic text badminton. Ooh. Unfortunately, his shuttlecock was 30 miles away, but I digress. A few photographs were sent back and forth, and as it has been quite a while, I'm not ashamed to admit that I was a little horn dog with my dressing gown handy, and we had a great time, or so I thought. Did she write to you, Jordan? Mm-hmm. 1 week later, and I'd been left on read for 24 hours twice in 7 days. I've decided this wasn't for me and sent the obligatory "wish you all the best" text. I would like to add that I'm not concerned that he did not like the look of me after we sent photos, as I had proof of a soldier ready for battle, and I have a cracking pair of tits. Hashtag body positivity. His reply was amicable, and he said that we probably aren't compatible if I can't make time for you right now, but you never know what the future holds. What an absolute tosspot. This leads me to think, how soon is too soon to show off your cat flap? Had I waited until we had our loosely arranged, not set in stone date this Thursday, before taking the texting to sexting, would it have helped, or was it always doomed to fail? Much love from a loyal podcast wench, Kaylee.
Oh, Kaylee, you're my so... Kaylee would be my mate. I love Kaylee. No, it's not your fault. Just because you sexted, it doesn't mean that he cancelled the date. He was probably going to do it either way. I think he was just after a bit of fun via sexting and then got his fun and thought, well, I don't need to take her on a date now. So F him and you crack on with your cracking and... There's plenty more fish in the sea. He did. I genuinely think that you sexting didn't lead to that. He just wanted his fun. He got his knocks off and got his knocks off. Got his rocks off.
I don't know.
So don't blame yourself,
Kaylee. I think you were too. You were too giving.
No, I disagree.
No, I think if you have, you know, clearly, I don't think he had. Jordan, what are you doing?
I'm sweating. I'm lifting my top up. Go on.
Well, don't. This is a professional engagement.
Professional.
I think you gave away too much. I think you need to keep the mystery and keep them wanting more. And, I mean, look, it's completely your choice if you wish to sext, send photographs, your call. It's not something I would advise, but, again, it's a free country. But I think possibly he was just using you for one thing. He had that and then he wasn't interested. Mm. Now, if you give everyone what they want immediately, then there is no need for them to come back. So I would perhaps... refrain from doing that until you have met someone, gone on a couple of dates, and you feel comfortable doing it. But although clearly Kaylee feels comfortable doing it as is, so, you know.
Top tip for when you're next sexting, the word pulsating is a great word, and I'll leave that with you. A, it makes you sound clever. B, it leads you to an imagination. And C, it's just, yeah, never fails. I can't remember the last time I sexted, seriously. Like, we're talking years ago.
Really?
Mm.
Can I just say, there's a PS here. You can say my name, or even better, get Ben to say it. Sorry, Zoe. Who's Zoe? Maybe she thinks Zoe is Ben's girlfriend?
Yeah, it's Kat. Hi.
Or she has a friend called Zoe.
Hi, Kaylee. Thanks for your message. Cracking. Yeah, thanks, Kaylee.
Mikey has obviously can hear what we're doing and has texted me with another pantomime suggestion.
Oh, go on.
Snow White and the Seven Symptoms.
Okay. You can do better, Mikey. The hours must fly by in that flat.
Shut up. Dear William and Jordan, please keep me anonymous, as the person in question may listen. My brother and his girlfriend, we'll call her Ellie, have been together on and off for 5 years now. When I was on holiday with my friends, I met someone who knew Ellie from university. This new holiday friend started to tell me about Ellie's sexual conquests, which were all hot gossip at the time, not knowing that I knew Ellie. After doing some quick calculations, I worked out that she had slept around with 7 people whilst they were together, and not in one of their breakup periods. I haven't told anyone this yet, and it's been nearly a year since I found out. If I tell my brother, he will get mad at me rather than her. So what do I do, and who do I tell? Looking forward to seeing you in London in 2021. Jordan, what do you think?
I mean, this is a tough one, isn't it?
Well, why don't you summarise break it down, summarise what that genie said.
Read the last bit again. Sorry, I was on my phone. Sorry.
Say it again.
Sorry, I was on my phone.
Say, I've been a bad, bad boy.
I've been a bad, bad boy. You're not right, you.
Do you want me to just do the whole thing again?
No, just read the last bit. I got it.
So this correspondent has realised that her brother's girlfriend has been sleeping around.
Yeah.
And whilst they're in a relationship with her brother. So does she tell her brother?
Yes, I got that.
Or, well, you asked me to summarise. Who should she tell? What should she tell? What should she say? What does she do?
It's a tricky one, this, because they always say if you tell him, then you're the bearer of bad news and you're the one that usually gets punished. If it wasn't your brother, I would say stay out of it. If it was just a friend or someone you knew or a colleague, stay out of it. But I think if it's your brother, yeah, you've got to tell him. It's just that if it was my brother, I'd have to, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but she is worried that the brother will actually just get mad at the sister rather than at the girlfriend.
Mm.
Which may happen, which is fair enough. What would I do? Or you could maybe say to Ellie, drop into conversation that you met, name of person that she might have slept with. Oh, I met your friend, da-da-da-da, who, let's call him, I know, Roger. I met Roger, who I believe you met last year.
I believe you, Roger. Sort
of, it's almost as if I set that up. And I would just leave it like that and see what she says or does. And then maybe a few weeks later you could go, I met Paul. Your
no,
friend.
See, you sound like something from a Jackie Collins novel. The evil next-door neighbour. Just tell your brother straight. Like, don't be going round other people's back and dropping hints and being vicious. Just tell him.
You do need to... yes, but you do need to make sure, correspondent who has asked to remain anonymous, you are absolutely positive in your facts and that you are right. And actually, whether it's one person that she sort of had an affair with or 7 doesn't really matter. But as long as you have got categoric, not proof, but just make sure that you know what you're doing before you go down that road.
Okay. Okay.
Is what I would say.
Good advice.
Now, big, 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 we have a handwritten letter.
Oh, got your gloves on?
Yeah, well, Ben has taken a photograph, so he potentially is riddled now with corona. I am fine, because I have a photograph of it. Lovely paper. They've put their address, they've put our address, they've formatted it nicely. Only downside is they've put Dear Jordan and William, not Dear William and Jordan. So here we go. Now, pay attention to this one, Jordan, because I'm only reading this once.
I'm all yours.
Thank you. And how about the letter?
Yes.
Dear William and Jordan, I went through a Tinder dating stage and wanted to share some of my experiences with you to get your thoughts. I was dating a guy for a while and wanted to be sure I liked him before having sex. It was all going well until our fifth date, where he said CPS was getting a bit high. I asked him what CPS stood for, and he said cost per shag. Is CPS a thing when dating? And how much should you invest? Thanks for your help in advance. Good luck with the tour. Kindest regards, Sophie.
Well, I mean, I always thought CPS was Crown Prosecution Service.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
But cost per shag.
I mean, that's disgusting.
That's awful, isn't it?
I would just like to say that men and women in these three correspondents that we have done today don't come out of this very well.
No, I don't think CPS is a thing. It's probably a thing that a load of knobhead toxic masculinity... What's it called?
Toxic masculinity.
Toxic masculinity lads think's funny, but... Yeah.
No, I don't like it.
I'm not keen on that either. It sounds a bit...
And yeah. Anyone that talks about cost per shag probably isn't worth dating at
yeah.
all. Or even giving any of your time and attention to.
So he's probably like thinking, I'm taking around five dates here. Hopefully I'll get an out. Which is fine, because people do think that, let's be honest. But yeah, cost per shag. Don't like the
no,
sound
just,
of that.
Just block him.
Sack him off.
Hugely wonderful that we had a nice letter. So yeah. Thank you very much. If you want to write a handwritten letter, or indeed any piece of correspondence, all the information is on our website, sextedmyboss.com.
Show me handwriting. Was it nice? Let me have a look. I like seeing people's handwriting. Oh, yeah, it's quite nice, actually. Ooh.
It's very neat. I don't think it's cursive. It's not joined up.
Should you join up when you're writing a letter?
It's generally considered more grown up.
Oh, I write in capitals.
Yeah, well, there we go.
It's neater. Do you know, bless her cotton socks, my mum used to write letters into school, and I once got sent to the headmaster's office because they thought I forged it.
Or she wrote windy.
That's a bit harsh. I mean, insult me, but not my mother. Come on. How can I say that, actually?
How can yes? You ritually almost every week insult my mother
and defame
her.
I don't insult your mother. And again, for the record, I'd like this to go on the record. All my impressions of William's parents are not accurate. They are lovely people. I wish they will never hear this podcast.
I'm worried that when we go on tour next year, and obviously you two are more than welcome to stay, and if Stu's with us, the invitation extends to him, Stu might have the wonderful idea to fire up his laptop and play my mother some of the impressions. So we're going to have to either not invite Stuart, confiscate his laptop, or sedate him.
Yeah, our executive producer of the podcast, we do actually have an exec, said, would it be funny if we played the clips of Jordan doing his impressions and we recorded your mum and dad's reaction? No!
No, it would not be funny.
No, it would not be funny. God, no.
They'd probably be more cross with me than you.
William, who is this imbecile doing impressions of me on your father? Why is he doing impressions of me? I'm not even drunk.
The only hope would be that we play it to them and then they're just too drunk to remember it the day later.
I'm so offended. Oh, actually, while you're here, Mrs. Hanson, why don't you read the last bit of the script? Okay, my darling. So if you want our help with something, then you can tweet us at sextedmyboss. You can send your tales of trepidation to help@sextedmyboss.com. Or you can write to my William, who promises a handwritten reply in his own letterhead of paper. The address is on the website, sextedmyboss.com. Drinks! 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 We are done! Yeah, it's only half 10. I don't care! Drinks! Drinks! Drinks!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.